Hey, man, Wes Durham is here. The voice of our Atlanta Falcons. We'd like to say Wes Durham. Wes, good to talk with you. Hey, man, how you doing, brother? You good?
I'm good. How you guys?
Man, we're doing well. Had a great conversation yesterday with Kirk Cousins, and that's where I want to start with your assessment of what went down last week, the Tampa drive, which was incredible, and him making plays. And, you know, Rod joked with us about the whole got to find a way, and he said, look, I'm being serious. Like, we found a way in the Tampa game. There have been other games this year. We have not done that. Talk to me about what you see and what you are witnessing with Cousins as he's getting, it feels like, very comfortable again.
Yeah, I think Kirk has played well. I think the element that you're looking at is a guy who, number one, has started a lot of games in this league. I don't think we can ever lose sight of that, right? And we talked about it a lot last year. I mean, Sunday in Arizona is going to be his 165th start. Okay, so that's a lot of football, and this will only be his 20th start in Atlanta. But I think what you saw last week collectively, Carl and Mike, you know, like all the things that went wrong in the five-game skid went right last Thursday night.
Right.
I mean, even down to like Neusel recovering a fumble, which of all the people to recover a fumble, pick, you tell me Ryan Neusel recovered it, right? I mean, so some of that was just happenstance based on the way the year's gone. And probably some of those people, when the holding call was made on Jake Matthews, right, and it was 3rd and 28, Bell, among others, probably thought, well, here we go again.
Right.
I mean, we're going to lose another, you know, whatever, three-point game or something. And for me, I looked at it, Carl and Mike, as if they find a way here, now they got 14 on the first play to Kyle, and then for Sills to convert the 4th and 14, again, I mean, I think Kirk deserves a lot of credit. Now, he kills Tampa. That is statistically noted. Kyle Pitts kills Tampa. That's statistically noted. But the fact that you had Sills, Neusel, guys like that make plays the other night, that is that keep fight mentality that I think Ra's talking about to find a way.
Wes, we talked to Kirk about this. We asked Coach about it, too. You know, when we were handicapping this season, now, like, Mooney had some injuries. We thought, why couldn't Pitts step in to that position? And they just never seemed to get Pitts involved. It's either Drake. And I said, why is it mutually exclusive? And Kirk says, look, I've played where the tight end and the wide receiver both have monster days. You know, that would be really something to see in these next 3 weeks, especially with all of a sudden a big decision about Kyle Pitts, which I didn't think we were going to have to make.
Well, that's true, too. I wasn't sure midseason we were going to have to make a big decision either. But now he's put together, you know, 338 yards in the last three games. That's the most in a three-game span in about 3 years since George Kittle did it. I mean, you start thinking about what he is, and now did you have to lose Drake London to see that? And London obviously has been gone for four games. Hope to see him back on Sunday. And if so, then, you know, what does that look like? And how does it impact who else has made contributions on this team? And so, yeah, I think there are going to be some decisions to be made. And look, I felt like whether the season ended with, you know, three wins in your last four or no wins in your last four, there were going to have to be decisions made. The Pitts thing was coming to fruition one way or the other this year, guys. You know that.
Yeah.
And, you know, there. I think yesterday I caught part of your show and y'all were going to play, you're going to throw some names out there, stay or go, right?
Yeah, right.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think that's what every team has to do. But in Atlanta's case right now, I think it's fair to look at that and also say, okay, wait a second, how much money do we have? How much money do we have to spend on free agency, and what's our postscript going to look like? Because it's highly unlikely, in my opinion, now this is just me, it's highly unlikely you get that one back, okay? So you're going to have to live with that at least for the time being.
Yeah.
So you got to make 2, 3, and 4 count. And I think we got 2 threes, is that right? Am I correct on
I
that?
Believe
I know
so,
we have
yes.
A two.
Yes.
Yeah. There's 2, 2 threes, and a 4.
That's right.
So you got to make those. You got to make those 4 picks count. And by the way, we can, after 6 straight games with a sack, Mike, I think we can kill off the James Pierce, you know, bad deal.
Oh no, I was off that about 3 or 4 weeks back, Wes. I mean, no one remembers the number one. It is what it is. You got the best pure pass rusher since Claude Humphrey in this organization right now.
Yeah,
like.
Well, and you got, here's the other thing too. You've got now a scenario where, you know, last year, Atlanta only had 31 sacks, and we got 48 with 3 to go, and we trailed Denver by 10, and we're second, but we got 15 sacks by rookies, guys. That's 9 more than any other team in the league.
It's promising.
Think about that.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. Oh, very promising. Defensively, I think whatever the payoff was, the risk-reward was, I think that side's paid off. Now, can you see what you can do financially to keep this group together? You know, Seven's coming back. How do you handle the quarterback paradigm? And that's what it's going to be.
Yep.
What does that look like? And then, you know, in your offensive line, you know, what are you thinking, and how do you add to the skill side of it? Because I think those are the kind of situations that are going to play out here before next year.
How much do you think – we really haven't talked about it because, you know, we knew this at the start of the season, and it was like, oh. But McGarry not being here and not being mm-hmm. on this O-line and what it has meant or not meant to – what we've wanted to do. You know, the statistics at the beginning of the season, it's Wes Durham, guys, voice of our Atlanta Falcons, joining us here on Dukes and Bell. The stats said we ran to his side more than anybody else, right? We ran right behind him more than anybody else, like, you know, 51 or the 47 or 46 or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. What has it meant to not have him? And, like, if this offense, does it look that much different? Is the run game so much more better with McGarry?
It's a good question. I don't know that I mean, because I don't sit in those meeting rooms, not only the coaches meeting, but the player room too. I think they're the only ones that have to tell you. They'd be the only ones that can tell you. That might be something Raheem can tell you next week right. or week after.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a fair assessing question to ask about, okay, have you missed Caleb McGarry as much as you thought you would?
Right.
And that's really the question, Carl, right? I mean, as it relates to the run game, have you still been good enough? And, by the way, if you've gone left more than you've gone right, statistically, has that taken, you know, a mile or two off the wagon of Jake Matthews? Or, you know, what is Matthew? See, to me, the guy whose value has doubled this year is Matthew Bergeron.
Right.
And Matthew, when right. he's been healthy, I think he's been terrific.
Yep.
You knew Lindstrom was good. I think Neusel has been fine. I think Elijah Wilkinson, for all the concerns, and granted, I was with you guys. There was concerns there. But he's been fine too, for the most part. I think it's a really good question, and I think it's one that, you know, you kind of got to get an answer for. Again, that goes into this puzzle we're talking about. You know what else goes into the puzzle? Tyler Allgeier.
Yeah, and Wes, I said it the other day, and I said it to Carl just off the air. To me, he's kind of in that same spot where Michael DeBurner Turner was in San Diego, behind LaDainian mm-hmm. Tomlinson, and then yep. came here. He's already got 1,000 yards on his resume, and whether right. it's going to be, you know, most NFL backfields, it's a tandem, but he can make more money elsewhere. And I hate to lose him, but I think he's got to go for it and make the big payday.
Well, it takes away the bowling ball of razor blades. That's
yep.
why.
Exactly.
I'm one of the reasons I hate losing him. I mean, you kidding? When he gets cranked up and he just starts leveling people. But I think you have to understand, and again, here's the other discussion. You have to understand the value and longevity of a running back. And if you did not have a top five back already in your backfield, would you think of it differently? And you probably would. But you have, when he's right, and he's been right all this year, you've got a full-blown showstopper in the backfield. I mean, we have now got the comparisons are clear. We've got another Christian McCaffrey in our backfield. Mm-hmm. That's what he is.
Wes, let's shift gears. I want to ask you about the college football playoff. Am I crazy?
Holy cow, Carl. Tomorrow night, Norman, Oklahoma. Hello.
It's going to be big. But I got to ask you, because I know you saw him and calling games in the ACC and all over the country. Sure. Am I crazy to think Miami's going to hang with A&M at home?
Miami A&M might be the best game of the weekend.
Okay.
Absolutely. Best offensive and defensive lines in the event belong to Miami and Texas A&M. And it's going to be a street fight now. I mean, I think that you're talking about quality players on both sides of the ball for both teams. You've got skilled guys who can make plays. Marcel Reed and Carson Beck, they're good quarterbacks. You've got running backs. Le'Veon Moss is supposed to be back in the lineup for A&M. Miami's got a combination of guys, Mark Fletcher, Marty Brown, Gerard Pringle. I mean, you got showstoppers on the perimeter, Casey Concepcion for Texas A&M, who took the money and ran from Raleigh to College Station. And you got Malachi Toney, who arguably might be the most explosive freshman of the year in all of college football. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a hell of a show. And Miami's catching a break because it's at noon or 11 a.m. at Kyle Field.
Right.
If it were 8 o'clock, it'd be a house of horrors down there. You know that.
But that's the thing, Wes.
I think it'll be a great game.
Yeah, I said to Carl, it is what it is because, you know, I made this point last year, but it's a wrong point to make because the NFL has played on mid-December Saturdays for decades, and so college technically is stepping on their toes. But to have Alabama-Oklahoma, that's a marquee game for Saturday night. That's Friday night. The game you just mentioned, that should also be maybe a Saturday night game. Mm-hmm. But they don't want to put their best stuff. So basically we're getting the likely blowouts going up against the NFL.
Yeah, well, they learned their lesson from a year ago. They have moved these games around to stay away from the NFL since they're stubborn and want to play opposite the NFL. Now, I don't have many issues with the college football playoff, but I do have issues with their television acumen, why they consistently want to go bang their head against the wall against the NFL.
Right.
But they do, and I'm just going to let them go do it for a while until they figure this out. But at least they've moved the games around. Like, to play the Alabama-Oklahoma game tomorrow night, I think, is smart. To play A&M and Miami at noon is smart. I'm sorry for Ole Miss Tulane and James Madison Oregon that it's going to be, you know, opposite the NFL games, but I think they'll survive. But these two other games are going to get huge numbers for the CFP. There's no question.
All right. It's going to be interesting.
Nice to have you back in the country, by the way. You apparently, unlike Bell, you cleared, you know, everything fine and clean, no issues, no paperwork at the table, right?
No, not at all. Actually, it was really easy. I will tell you the easiest part, ironically, if you've not traveled internationally, customs here back in Atlanta, literally the line flew because they have this new device where literally it scans your face, bloop, and you're gone.
Right.
And
Do you have to walk the 10 miles, though?
You still have to walk the 10 miles. I had a brother literally.
Yeah, you got all, yeah, now. Yeah. I mean, it's like you land in Conyers. Yeah, now.
No doubt.
It's right. Like,
but I had a guy in a cart goes, y'all want to ride? And a lady.
No, you didn't.
I swear. And a lady goes, is it that far to customs?
Yeah.
And he goes, yes, it is.
We told there was an older couple who was coming back from Germany on the Falcons trip. Sure. And there's a couple from, and they were from here in Georgia. They go, how far is this walk? I go, it's about half a mile. And they're like, really? I go, I'm not kidding. And for those who've never flown internationally, when you come into either the E or the F, it's for some reason they don't have a train for us. It's just, it goes on forever.
Yeah, but I will tell you, though, even when we landed overseas, it was a long walk. I don't know if it was as long, but it's almost, you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to slow you down to get the lines reasonable. Because can you imagine getting off the plane and immediately being in customs? The lines would be outrageous.
Right.
So literally,
I don't know that they had to put customs out there in Norfolk.
Oh, I'm with you now. Trust me. That's crazy. But yeah, man, great stuff. And I obviously appreciate the love, man. But had a good time and looking forward to this college football playoff. Looking forward to
how long were you gone, Carl?
That's not important.
6 weeks.
Work out that, what kind of package do we get on that paid time?
6 weeks, Wes.
That's not important, Wes. It's not important. Listen.
6 weeks, Mike? Really?
He's gone 6 weeks.
Damn.
You know what? You guys are full of it.
I want to tell you what now. When you get build up that kind of acumen, that, you know what, though? That's when you got the highest rated afternoon sports talk show in America.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Just
bonuses and incentives.
You're the only guy who didn't fill in, Wes.
Keep it
well,
coming.
Not like I wasn't asked. I just wasn't going to work that out financially. And we couldn't get that done.
It was down to Wes Durham, Bruno Kirby, Jeff Foxworthy.
I heard Bo was on with you one day.
Yeah, and we got along. We actually got through it.
Now, that was the unholy alliance of Atlanta radio right there.
Man, it was good.
Having a child has mellowed him.
Yeah, I had a guy hit me up, and he said, hey, man, it's cool to hear all these voices. I said, yes, it's good. And, you know, different voices.
Yeah,
it's nice.
It takes a village to replace Carl, I said a few times.
All right, man, we got to roll, Wes. Thank you so much, as always. Have a great call this weekend.
Hey, have a great Christmas. We'll talk to you
soon. You too, brother. Yeah, Merry Christmas.